This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech, episode 474, recorded on Tuesday, December 8th, 2016. So glad you came back and joined us once again. And those of you who are first-time listeners or viewers, thank you for coming. Hope you enjoy it and are blessed by it. Helping me traverse the many roads that are available to those interested in technology and ministry, which is what this show is all about, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Good afternoon, Martin Spriggs. Nice to be here. I guess maybe one of the roads available for technology is time travel these days, because in my book, it's Tuesday, December 6th, not the 8th. You did.
Yeah, that's because my eyesight is catching up with me as well.
So I just thought you might have the secret to time travel, and that would be super cool if that was the fact. And what could we do that with ministry? Who knows?
I have enough trouble doing one day at a time.
Okay.
Tuesday, we'll December 6th, 2016, for all that. We're thrown off by that. Probably won't actually be available till Tuesday, December 7th, because we record.
That would be Wednesday. That would be Wednesday, December 7th, not Tuesday,
December Wednesday, 7th. December 7th, yeah. Now that I've thoroughly confused myself and everybody else, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'm excited to welcome Professor Bill Peckrell from Martin Luther College to the show today, and his role there is public relations, and he's going to educate us a bit on promotions for church and school ministries.
And we did not record that on Tuesday or Wednesday, December 6th or Tuesday, December 8th. It was a few days back, and we're grateful for him to come on the show and pre-record with us. So let's take a listen or watch to our interview with Professor Bill Peckrell.
Joining us today on Wells Tech is Professor Bill Peckrell, Martin Luther College's public relations extraordinaire. So we are so happy to have my friend Bill joining us. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks, Sally.
Yeah. We are talking today about church and school promotion, and who better to look to for that than a public relations guy. Maybe give us a little bit about background on yourself, maybe your service there at MLC, family, hobbies, whatever you want to share.
Okay. Glad to be on here today. I've been public relations director here at MLC for about 10 years now. Was called here as an English professor. Did that for about 5 years. Before that, I was at Winnebago Lutheran Academy in Fond du Lac, and was familiar, though not a part of the public relations per se there, but got a taste of what that was like. Before that, I was a principal and teacher at Martin Luther in Neenah, and did that for 14 years, and had an idea about how we wanted to try to promote our school congregation in the community setting. My background actually comes from being in the mission congregation in Massachusetts, and that's a whole different ballgame right there as far as having your face in front of the community. And trying to tell the story of a ministry, which in that case really was far from the heartland of Lutheranism there. So nice background to that. And even now, I have 4 children spread across the country, one in New Ulm here, but I have a son in Alaska, a son in Colorado, and another son in Nicaragua. And in visiting them, get to see a little bit of different communities, different ways that, and I'm always thinking about public relations, and my one son actually is working with a non-government organization, and I do talk with them quite a bit as far as reaching people across, you know, overseas, how that works and how that community works differently. So it's a fun thing. It has a lot of variety to public relations. Sometimes it's a bit more all-inclusive than I would like it to be. But it's a wonderful place to work, and being a part of this ministry here has really been a great blessing for me.
Speaking of ministry, I'm getting an echo.
No, it sounds okay.
Okay. Bill, thanks for joining us. Speaking of ministry, there is sometimes a tension that might exist, I think, in the minds of some when you try and mix ministry and quote-unquote marketing terms, especially from the public sector. Why should a church or a school be interested in learning more about and marketing their ministry?
Sometimes I think just using that term marketing can be an off-putting thing, because we see marketing that manipulates us. We see marketing that is seems intrusive to us. When we're going on and we're searching something and we see over on the side, well, that's something I just was Googling, and so now it's coming up as I'm looking at something else, and we feel intruded upon. But I think if we think about ministry, it's marketing, but really it's just telling your story. It's just telling what you do. I was just in a discussion about that about 30 minutes ago here at MLC, where we're talking about telling the MLC story, and they were using the term spinning, that we could spin something this way, and I put up my hand and said, I'd like us to get away from that, because I personally don't think we spin anything. We're just trying to be clear. We're trying to have people understand what ministry is, because I think especially for those outside of the wells, they may not have a good concept as far as who we are or what we stand for and what it's like being a member of our congregation. And I think our marketing, our telling of the story, our story, which ultimately is the telling of the story of Christ, is something that we need them to understand. What would it be like coming into our church? What would it be like being in our school? What kind of people are we? I think today it's a difficult barrier to try to get someone from seeing something in print or on video or in social media, seeing something and then actually making that step to actually come and being with us and entering our doors, being within our schools, being within our churches. And I think good marketing, if you want to use that term, just allows them to see that, I guess possibly you could say, just in the safety of their own home or where they're not. It's a very low stress situation where they see, well, yes, okay, can I see myself in that congregation? Would I be comfortable there? Do I understand what they're about? And I think that's what a lot of our marketing needs, that's how we need to think about that. It really comes down to a lot of, some basic questions as far as, who do you want to reach? What do you want to tell them? And where are they? And then trying to answer those questions in a way that's most effective as we can.
So you mentioned a few kinds of channels. You talked about print and video and social media. And I guess hearing that you've been doing this job for 10 years, you've probably seen a major shift in all these different ways to share your story during those 10 years. It can be somewhat overwhelming, I would guess. How should a church or school get started thinking about promotion and telling their story?
The three things that I always think about when starting on something new, if it is something new, or trying to sort of ramp up something that maybe you haven't done a whole lot with before, is first of all, is it realistic? Is it something that you have the resources to do? I think at times we can be chasing after all kinds of new things. the best and the newest, because that's what's going to attract people's attention. We see a cool video, or we see this app that someone uses, and we say, wow, we're really behind the times if we don't do that. Believe me, that I live behind the times, and I think most of us do, because again, you look at the world today, and they push a lot of new things toward us that we really have precious few resources to be following. And so, is it realistic? Is it effective? Is it something that actually is going to make a difference when people see it? Will it be something that fits the message that we're trying to give them? And the third one, and maybe one of the most important things, is it sustainable? Is it something that we actually could start and then can continue? So we can look at different channels. We can look at social media, and I'm all about social media, because in the college setting, that's where my students are at. That's where our prospective students are at for high school, and also even our parents and grandparents. So I get that, and I spend a lot of time on social media, and it and for the most part, I guess you could say it's kind of free, kind of. If you have to think about time and so forth, that's another story, but. But, you know, there are things I think we have to look at for a church and a school that can be very effective, maybe not really high tech, but something that would be effective, realistic, and sustainable. And that could be just even in your own communities. Create or establish a relationship with your local media. I do make a point to try to get to know our local people in the New Ulm Journal. The reporters will hear about something and they'll contact me and say, can we do an article on that? You know, it's a give and take sort of thing where we're a part of that. We advertise there, we contact them, and then they see that we have these things and they're looking for news also. So that can be sort of free advertising. When they're covering those things, sending photos down. Do you have a community newspaper, or even a cable access? We have cable access TV here in New Ulm, and one of the men, he happens to be a Wells member, but he contacts me and says, "Could I interview you this month for this? So they have an arts program to let the people know what's going on at the college." You have to investigate those things, and it's an investment of time, possibly not money though. And it could be something that would be free. If you're looking at going into a channel, a social media channel, make sure you have something that it's going to be fresh, and it's going to be something that people will see, and they'll want to return to that again, that they will see new things. And again, like I mentioned before, putting things on social media or on your website, any kind of photography or video that you do, allow them to see what it's like inside the doors. Allow them to, so to speak, virtually step into your church or into your school and see what your classroom is like, what your teachers are like, what your congregational members are like. So they get that feel, because of what are even a prospective students to a school, to Martin Luther College. Students will come online, they'll look at our social media, they'll look at our videos, they'll look on our website, and the students will ask, can I see myself there? Would it be a comfortable place? Would I fit in? Would I like it there? You want that to be a positive answer for them. So looking at some things that you have the resources to begin and also to sustain. I'm a member of an evangelism committee right now in New Ulm at St. John's. We've been talking about starting a Facebook page probably for the last year. I am a little slow on a lot of initiatives, so that's part of it. But we also are talking about, do we have the material that actually would make our Facebook page something that people would want to revisit, that they'd want to see in their news feed, something that they would see as a positive addition to things that they're just bombarded with from so many different angles. It's one of the challenges to that is sort of rising above the clutter and being something that people would say, hey, that's interesting. That fits with something that I want to hear. Yeah, I would. I'd like to try to, you know, see that first on my timeline. So, so again, those things, you know, is it realistic? Is it effective? And is it sustainable for your ministry?
Still there at the college resource
you have.
Martin, you're getting a lot of echo again.
And you have a budget. And not most congregations actually don't have a budget, or at least a sufficient budget to do some of these things, especially creating high quality promotional resources. Any suggestions you can give to the, you know, the churches, even, you know, your situation at St. John's, larger congregation, you know, larger budget. We have most of the congregations across the Senate are much, much smaller. What kind of tips or tools would you maybe suggest they consider in creating some of these promotional resources, especially with some quality built into them?
Sure. I think the good news is that today some of that equipment, whether it be video or photography equipment, to try to capture those times and the images, are really far more available to many people than they used to be. Even if you're looking at using your phone, you'd be surprised how many photos we use within our magazines on our website. We just came out with a new calendar for MLC. For those of you that are asking me about this, our new calendars now have been printed. And I was just pointing out there's like three or four photos in there that I took with this camera. So it's a matter of having something that is thought out. Sometimes I think we feel if we want to have an image that really is authentic and usable, we have to kind of capture it on the fly. We have to be there and try to get something. And there's an aspect to that, but I think recreating photos of something that does actually happen and having a little bit of time just to compose those and taking a picture with your phone, especially for social media, taking a video with your phone is possible. Now, the things you have to be concerned about are, you know, number one, is the photo in focus? That would be a really important thing. You know, that's you can have the greatest photo you have possible, and if things are blurry and so forth, you know, that's something. So good images. You don't need a ton of them, but having some that really have good lighting, good composition, it shows something that would give an insight into your ministry. Those are things I think are important. Using video. You can do video on this. I think for social media, that may be possible, but even video off of cameras, SLR cameras is possible. If you're using a video that needs audio, that's really important. You want to make sure that the audio that's being used there is something that's clear. And you don't need a feature-length film for these things. In many cases, if you're using some of those channels, whether it be on your website, if you have a website now and just trying to host some very good clips, that's something that you can do, I think, fairly easily. I think part of it, Martin, is just that we have to be willing just to try, get your feet wet. Don't worry about, don't overcommit yourself into something that you, again, won't be sustainable, but just try. And, you know, and I would bet within your ministry, there are people, especially maybe some young people, that really like to do this already. And we're always looking for ways for young people to be involved in ministry. And if you were to tap on the young people of your congregation and say, I need some people that could make kind of a fun video for us. Anybody interested? I bet you could find some that would do that and really come up with some pretty neat stuff in a relatively short amount of time. So I think having good imagery is important. Being clear in your statements, having things that people can see and understand what your ministry is. And again, sometimes we get a little bit caught up in, again, back to the term marketing, we get caught up in what would be a good phrase, what would be a good tagline and so forth. Again, we have to go back to Christ, and we have to realize that our ministry is about proclaiming the gospel, whether it be in a school or in a church or individually, that's what we're about. And we always want to make sure that the message that we're giving to other people includes that focus on our Savior Jesus. Now is a great time. It's at Christmas time, having just even something that we're a part of. But even other times outside of the holidays, where we have an opportunity to be telling people, this is what we do. We talk about Jesus Christ, and that's foremost in our congregations, in our classrooms. That's what we talk about in our schools. So it's the clear message that goes back to the purpose of your ministry, as well as good imagery and very clear text that you'd have along with that for good promotions.
I guess if you invest all this time, I'm getting a lot of echo as well. Sorry. If you invest this time in producing the great content and promoting, your dream would be for it to get shared widely. So for people to use it, for people to share it with others, in the social media realm, we call that going viral, when something just gets a bajillion hits because it's just really good or really shareable or whatever it is. I think MLC's experienced a little bit of that. I would guess some of our churches and schools have as well. Do you know, or can you give us the behind-the-scenes secret to going viral with our communications?
You know, sometimes it's interesting. You can spend a lot of time, especially if you're talking about social media, you can spend a lot of time on some posts and say, wow, this is going to be great. And you put it out there and it's like, where are you?
Dad.
Come on. What about those that really liked it before? I'm going to focus on Facebook a little bit just because that's the channel that we use most often. It doesn't have to be the one that other ministries would use. But there are some things just to think about. Sometimes it has to do with when you post. Mm-hmm. If you think about those of people that are on Facebook, how much comes into your timeline? And if you've had a friend that said, hey, did you see I just posted that? Well, you didn't see it because that was probably 3 hours ago, and there's been 60 other posts that have come before that. And then unless you actually are purposefully looking for them, you won't see it on the regular feed, especially someone who's looking at social media on one of these and is just doing this. Mm-hmm. They won't see it. And so sometimes there are analytics on Facebook that will tell you when most of the people that like your page are online. It'd be good to post it then. Like for MLC, a lot of our people are online more at night. However, the other aspect of that, I think personally, is that the people that really are interested at MLC know we commonly post in the morning also. We'll post in the morning and then later on in the afternoon. The morning because because I'm a morning person and I post, so I put that up there and check that off my list. Okay, not the best marketing strategy. But we do have a lot of people that see those in the morning. I think maybe before they go to work, first thing in the morning, and so forth. But you have to keep track of that. The other thing is it has to have good imagery. There's times where I was just pointing out a photo that is on one of our calendars. I happened to take a photo. I was just in the morning. I was leaving from the fitness center. We had this nice sunrise. I took my phone out. I took a picture of the chapel with this pink sky behind it. And I was on my phone. And so I'll put this up on Facebook. I put it up on Facebook. And I don't know. I think we got maybe 8,000 or 9,000 views on that. It's something that I just, you know, and it because it was an image, because it was a beautiful image. And that catches people's attention.
Right.
But, you know, it's not wrong especially for those people that are a part of your ministry, it's not wrong to tell them, would you please share these with your friends? Give them some, you know, we hear about, you know, like us on Facebook, you know, and so forth all the time, but I'm really giving people some direction on, it really would help us a lot if you were those that are in social media, that you're a part of that, and please, if it's at all possible, if you're comfortable with that, share our message. And it'd be surprising, some people need a little bit more direction on that, to exactly what that means and why that's important to us.
Very good.
Really appreciate you sharing some of your experiences, and we wish Lord's blessings and your continued work in recruiting there and getting the word out that the MLC is our synod's place for ministerial education, those seeking to become pastors, teachers, staff ministers. Very important work. And thanks for the advice that you're giving to our congregations and schools. Very important work there too, obviously, when trying to get that word out. So thanks so much for taking the time, Bill, and sharing some of your expertise.
You're welcome, Martin. Welcome, Sally. Nice being on today, and God's blessings on your Advent celebrations.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate your insights. And Sally, you got to work pretty closely with Bill over the years when you were helping out at MLC.
That's right. Bill and I joined forces with Bob Martins there at MLC to rework the MLC website, among other things. So lots of great memories of being there on campus with Bill and team. So good guy.
So taking his advice, I think one of the things that is really critical is the whole planning process to kind of get ahead of the curve, to understand what the needs are, to estimate that correctly, and then be realistic about what you can do with your promotion or marketing opportunities. And then constantly take a look at what you're doing, measuring how effective it is, and then making decisions on, do we keep going with this or do we try something else? And it needs to be a thoughtful process versus, well, let's get a Facebook page up. So that really shouldn't be the start of a conversation. That really should be the result of, you know, a thoughtful approach and a strategic plan that is that goes right alongside your congregation or school's strategic plan as well.
Yeah, definitely the S word that Bill mentioned, sustainable, is probably one of the biggest challenges and one that you definitely have to take into consideration as you're planning. You know, Martin, you mentioned Facebook pages and getting those up. When we started this podcast 9 years ago, Facebook didn't even really exist in the whole technology spectrum. So what a change that's become. And definitely we've probably seen Facebook pages come and go during that time period. And those that are sticking with it, like we are, weekly podcast every week for 9 years, you're going to see some value in sustaining your efforts. You're going to grow an audience and things like that. So definitely sustainable is very key to that process.
You have to be consistent as well. I think that's one of the keys. You can't just say, well, it's been a while since we've done anything with this particular channel, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. If you're only doing it when the spirit moves you, so to speak, I think it needs to be more regular and scheduled than that. And that's a discipline, and that really is a hard thing to do, is to stay on top of that. And that's why one of the things that we really try and do with this show is we have one every week you know, without fail. And that's important to at least do something, you know, on a regular basis so that whoever your audience is can expect it and they're not left wondering, you know, what's going on.
Right. Besides having one every week, we update the show webpage with it. We update all our social media channels with it. Folks come to expect that they're going to see a new post from Wells Tech in that regard. Right. And the similar could be true for your church or school. You know, a lot of these great ideas are pulled together in an ebook. I'll just pause for a second and tell you I'm having a little bit of echo. An ebook that you authored a few years ago, Martin, it's called Websites and Missions. and reaching out in a digital world. And we have that posted on the Wells Tech site. Folks can go there to read online or download in their favorite format. So it really zeroes in on that planning portion and gives you some real practical tips as you're preparing your digital communication.
Right. We'll post a couple of other resources as well. I've done a number of presentations on promotion and marketing, whether that be church or school. One is entitled Promoting Your School with the Technology of Today, and the other is Building Church Websites. And I kind of distilled down to a top 10 list, which was pulled from that Websites and Missions ebook that you just mentioned. Now, what are the top 10 things that you should be kind of have top of mind as you're building a church website, especially if it is for promotion, if it is for outreach and trying to attract people to visit your church or consider the message that you have, etc. So we'll put those resources out there, as well as I mentioned the importance of being consistent and kind of having a regular schedule. One thing that I usually share in those presentations is a content schedule. And it's really easy to do. Just build a spreadsheet and plot out the different kinds of content that you might be able to put in different locations, whether that is a web page or a social network or an image library, like Instagram, whatever, and kind of identify maybe over a quarter, couple months, 3 months at a time, each day or every couple days, what's going to go in those particular channels, whether it's devotional or news or it's a prayer or a question and survey, what kind of imagery, what even time of day you might post. Bill talked a little bit about that as well, that there is kind of a science to when people are tuning into their own social network. So what time do most people look at their Facebook feed or look at Twitter or Instagram or whatever and try and place your content at that most beneficial time for you and for their viewing habits?
And as you get more into this, you'll find that there are tools that can help you do all of this. Perhaps you post it in one place and it feeds out at the correct times that you wanted to hit the social network channels. So just spending some time giving a little more thought to it. And I love the idea of on a quarterly basis. Maybe you have a team that brainstorms their way through the next quarter and do it a quarter in advance so you can prep whatever resources you need to go along with the post. You know what's coming. So proactive. I love that.
And maybe one last thing we should talk about, Sally, is the importance of pictures, the importance of imagery that goes along with these posts, and Bill said it, and we've said it, I think, on the show many times. It's so important to go beyond just words. Use imagery of whatever stripe that would go along with the message, and it will raise the likelihood of somebody actually reading what you wrote and kind of paying attention to your post. And as a result, we have a couple of recommendations or even a list of different resources that you could use to find, especially stock photography. There's all kinds of resources out there, and we'll put those in the show notes. What's your favorite, Sally?
Well, tops on my list has to be Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A-Y. And it says right there on the homepage, free images and videos you can use anywhere. All the images and videos on Pixabay are released free of copyrights under Creative Commons Zero. You may download, modify, distribute, use them royalty-free for anything you like, even in commercial applications. Attribution is not required. These are the kind of images you want to make use of. So you can go there and search on just about anything under the sun. And what you might notice right away is that a variety of image types are displayed. So you've got some clip art type images as well as intermixed with photography. You can actually use their filtering near the top of the screen. If you're only interested in photos, you can select that, and then all those others will be filtered out, and you can find a really pretty photo to use for whatever your needs are. Once you go to a page, there's a link in the right column, a green button that says free download, and it allows you to pick a download size, starting with the original size, whatever that might have been that was uploaded to the site. I'll just tell you that if you pick large or original, they're going to require you to create an account to download that. So I'm actually logged into my account. It's a free account. They don't even really use it to send you any updates or anything like that. I think they just want to track who you are and what your usage is and things like that. So if you stick with small and medium, those are downloadable. I think you get a little CAPTCHA image that you have to fill out, but they're downloadable without any login whatsoever. So pixabay.com, I think you'd even find some of these images featured in our Wells Tech book, because this is where a lot of my source images came from for our book project. One more worth mentioning is Morgfile, and similar there, they have their own terms of service. I think they require that you actually change the image in order to use it, but beyond that, completely royalty free, even for commercial use. So those are just two of my favorites. What about you, Martin? Do you have any particular image sources that you like to use?
Those are great ones that are mostly free. If we want to kind of dip into the ones that offer pictures for a small fee, the one that I prefer most is iStock Photo. Mm-hmm. Many, many thousands, even millions probably of images out there. If you can't find it there, it probably doesn't exist. And if you are a photographer, you can actually publish photos there for sale. I tried that long ago. I just pushed one out there, and it's still out there. I don't know if it's sold anything or not, but that's kind of fun too. But iStockPhoto.com is the place that I would go for that kind of stuff. So we've got couple links there that you can take advantage of. Uh-huh. Yeah, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely. I just thought of one more while you were talking, so I'll throw in Lightstock, which has got a Christian bend to it, but they are also fee-based, so you'll have to pay a small fee to use photos from Lightstock, but we'll have those listed in the show notes.
Very good. Yeah, and if you don't have to look very far for good examples of how images are used in kind of the marketing promotion area for churches and schools, or just look at MLC's Facebook page or whatever, and you kind of get a sense for how those could be used effectively.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks again to Bill for joining the show and sharing some of his knowledge with us, and hope everybody benefited from that. Allie, we should probably move on to the next segment of the show then, and that's news and tech.
Yep, and one of the things making news this past week had to do with Netflix. So at least according to the statistics I read, many of our listeners and watchers probably are Netflix users as well. That's a video library that you can subscribe to for entertainment purposes. And just last week they announced that you can now download Netflix shows for offline viewing. This is only on mobile devices, but you should have an option available to you to download and allow you to watch them on an airplane or anytime that you're away from your internet connection. You can now still enjoy your Netflix videos. So news for those Netflix subscribers.
Yeah, and that's probably the best use for that is, you know, when you are disconnected on an airplane or you're on a trip or vacation, don't want to use your Wi-Fi or your mobile, your cellular gigabytes, whatever those might be. So good news. And I don't think it's all content. There's just some content that is available, mostly the Netflix original shows. I think that probably would grow as well. So good news. Mm-hmm. Let's move along to our Wells Now section.
Yeah, and I'll just make mention that we're going to have a link in the show notes to the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary live streaming page, because it is the Christmas season, and one of those traditions during Christmas time is the Seminary Chorus Christmas concert, and that is actually coming up this Sunday, December 11th, and that'll be at 3 and 7 p.m., same concert at both times, and both of them live streamed over on the WLS live stream page. So we'll throw a link to that in the show notes, and tune in and enjoy the concert, 3 or 7 p.m. Central Time this Sunday.
Very good. Yeah, if you just go to the seminary homepage, you'll see it there as well. So, All right, picks of the week. What do we got, Sally?
To picks of the week. This one's a leftover from Thanksgiving week. Our friends over at Lifehacker gave us top 50 free apps that they're most thankful for. And this is actually kind of a crowdsourced poll that they did where they asked people to tell them what they're most thankful for. And I was actually a little bit surprised. Of course, I recognized a lot of them, even from their Thanksgiving graphic. You see Pocket and Gmail and Chrome and Dropbox. But the number one on their list was actually Feedly, which is an RSS reader. And I haven't heard a whole lot about RSS lately, but I think many of us several years ago were very in tune to Google Reader, and Feedly kind of came in and filled that spot when Google dismantled that business segment and no longer offered their RSS reader, Google Reader. And I know that when I took some graduate work, our teacher actually required us to use Feedly for one of our research efforts because he wanted us to learn how valuable it is in terms of research and things to be able to search across different feeds and find articles and things like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of different uses for an RSS reader, and Feedly was number one on their list. But it was fun just to read through the list. I was really looking for something new and different that I wasn't familiar with. And besides Feedly being there, really the top 10 or 20 weren't a huge surprise to me. We got Mint, we've got Google Chrome, Gmail, Dropbox, all of those up near the top of the list. They had one or two entries that were related to media centers, so Plex and Kodi. I don't know if you've used either of those, Martin.
I've used Plex, not familiar with Kodi, though.
Okay. And then it continues, like I said, Pocket is on the list. Authy, which is really great at managing your two-factor authentication. And different backup solutions. Flux was one I wasn't familiar with, but my kids were because they stare at screens probably a whole lot more than I do. And Flux will automatically adjust your screen brightness based on the time of day. Kind of like that concept of the nighttime settings on your phone, perhaps, which it, you know, it reduces the brightness because of the time of day. And so a couple that I was excited to see
two
in the
of
list.
My favorite apps right there. Yep.
Oh, LastPass and Trello.
Wow.
Yeah. You must have answered their survey. What do you think? I was excited to see Google Keep and also Google Photos in the listing. Google Keep is number 19, and it's kind of similar to the OneNote concept. Just a quick note-taking app. You can easily use it with Teams and share and things like that, make checklists, add reminders, that kind of thing. And apparently they've kind of upped their ante over the years and has become more and more of a valuable tool to people. And I guess if you live and you do business, you do your, you know, manage your church or school in the Google environment, having the note-taking app that integrates with that is a real plus. The other one that I saw on the list was Google Photos. That one's probably going to be coming up soon on a app of the year kind of show that we may be planning, because I'm a real Google Photos believer now after converting my entire photo library over to Google Photos and just marveling at the search capabilities and intelligence that they apply to your photo collection. So I definitely would have voted Google Photos high up on the list as well. Anyway, just a fun little list from Lifehacker, came out Thanksgiving week, things they're thankful for, free apps. So maybe you're looking for something that they have some suggestions for you, crowdsource suggestions. So folks just like you that have shared what they use, and maybe there can be some benefit there for you as well.
Nice find. Yep. I'm looking forward to that. Top of the year pick, you know, our top picks of the year. So, all right, my pick of the week. I'm gonna turn my lights back on. There we go. My pick of the week has to do with iPhone cases, or just cases in general. And right now, I use an iPhone 6S, smaller version. And the case that I normally have on the phone is just Apple's leather case. They're a little bit more expensive, but I find them to last longer and look nicer. So I normally use just a black leather case. But over the winter, I usually switch to something a little bit more durable because my hands get drier. I got gloves on. It's a little more extreme environment, you know, when you're in the Midwest and you try to survive every winter. So what I normally put on the phone is a bigger, more protective case. And this one happens to be made by Ballistic. And this is the Tungsten series. They have a whole bunch of them. If you're looking at the video, I'll just describe it for those that are listening. It's probably one of the bigger cases. So it actually adds quite a bit of girth, but what you get for that is a lot of protection. I think they rate this for an 8-foot drop, so you could hold this above your head and drop this on the ground, and it should absorb the shock. It's got big, soft, rubbery corners on the edges, which is typically where your phone is gonna hit. And then the back is insulated, and it's just really grippy. It's a nice rubberized case, and they have a lot of different other kinds of cases. So I could, I don't know if you can actually see this, Sally, but if I turn the camera a little bit, if I just pop this.
Wow, you really didn't want to do that. That made me nervous.
Yes, no harm, no foul. You can treat this pretty roughly, even though it's a delicate electronic instrument in here, and it really does a nice job. If you go to their website I think it's goballisticcase.com. Oops, wrong one here. Let me share the screen for those looking on at home. Oh, yeah, I got to go to the different tab again.
Google Hangouts changed
Google,
on you.
Google. goballisticcase.com. They have all kinds of cases here for all kinds of different phones. So they have all the Apples plus the iPad, all the Samsung phones, many of the Android phones that are not Samsung. So HTC, LG, Sony, Android tablets as well. And then you just pick your phone and you kind of see what's available. They come in all kinds of colors. One thing that's kind of nice is I think they're fairly reasonably priced compared to others. I saw the one that I'm particularly using, the one that I'm using right now, isn't sold anymore on Ballistic's case. It's on the Ballistic case site. But you can get it at places like Walmart and those kinds of things for under $20. So it's actually a very good deal at this point. I don't think you can get this series for the latest iPhone 7, but for 6S or below and a lot of the other phones, you're going to Siri wanted to talk to me. You can pick up this case for very cheap.
But Siri said, don't drop me anymore.
Nah, wasn't Siri complaining about that. She's not that smart. Anyway, that is my pick. Look around if you're interested in those for sales, especially this holiday season. Would make a great stocking stuffer or maybe a gift certificate to the site or whatever. You're using a pretty expensive computer and you're shaking it with you. You might as well protect, especially in these extreme months, you know, during winter. And I find that this is, and I don't mind the extra, you know, girth around it. It still fits in the pocket fine. I would say maybe if you're using the 6S Plus or one of the bigger phones, it might add a little bit too much for some people, but I like the peace of mind that I know that, you know, this $600, whatever, $700 thing is not going to break on me, regardless of how clumsy I am. So just as that peace of mind that you get when you've got that investment protected. But can't say enough good things about Ballistic cases, even though they're a little bit bigger. Almost all of them have that edge protection, or the corner protection, which is really the important part of it. And then you can put this face down or back down, and it's not going to scratch the glass or whatever. Plus, they've done a nice job with the ports. Some cases you really struggle with getting adapters into the ports, and they've made them nice and wide at the bottom so you don't have a real challenge in trying to get stuff in there. It may not sit on some stands as nicely. You kind of have to, your mileage may vary depending on what your stand is, but That is my recommendation. Ballistic cases. This one happens to be the titanium, but there's all kinds of different color, shapes, sizes for everybody.
So, sad thing to bring up, but have you ever broken a phone? Dropped a phone? You have.
I talked about it on the show. It was a Windows phone way back in, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 years ago. I was getting out of my car.
Oh, on a trip.
To go at O'Hare, Chicago O'Hare International Airport, to go, I think, to Los Angeles for a conference, or I think I was doing a workshop for one of our congregations or circuits out there, and put it in my vest pocket of my jacket and didn't zip it up and leaned over to grab my bag or whatever, and it went face down. It had no case on it whatsoever, and it didn't survive that two or three foot fall. So I'm sure this one would have. How about you?
No, that's why I got so nervous watching you drop it. I, you know, even if I'm tired and a zombie, I wake up when I hold my phone and I pay attention because I do not want to drop my phone.
So. Right. Yep. It's not an insignificant investment. You really do want to protect it. So a $20 case, $30 case is not, out of the question. So, and you can, and they add personality. I think phones in general are just kind of blah by themselves, but the case gives you color options and style options. And I know my daughter will swear by a case that you can put her little credit cards in. So she never buys a case that doesn't have the back compartment where she can put 3 credit cards in, and they're just always with her, just kind of a convenience thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like kickstands. I mean, there's lots of different
Mine has a kickstand on it, and it has a little clip case that has another kickstand on it. So, yeah,
fun
stuff.
But very practical, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to ministry resources.
And we want to make mention of the fact that Proclaim, which is from our friends at Faith Life, they do the logo software. They have church presentation software named Proclaim. They basically have reinvented Proclaim, and Proclaim 2.0 has been released. And so you can head over to proclaimonline.com and check it out, and also download a free trial. And interestingly, when they sent out the announcement of this, they actually said your entire team can try Proclaim for free for 30 days, even if you've tried it before. So free trial in the past. This is a whole new ball game. You can try it again. Plus, you'll get unlimited access to 10,000 plus pieces of media to use with your free trial. That's all the media you could ever need for the Christmas season. So they're giving you a little Christmas gift, basically, with your free trial. They're going to, you know, package that with a whole ton of media that could be used for Christmas presentations and worship. So I remember that we interviewed some folks from Michigan who were using Proclaim in their church. And you can do it with a whole team. It's cloud-based, so different people can log in to this week's worship presentation and add their pieces to the presentation and that kind of thing. So maybe time for you to give ProclaimOnline.com a try.
Yeah, and those that aren't familiar with Faith Life, that is Lugus. That's the Lugus people. So you may know them better for that. So you can imagine that there is nice integration, perhaps, between Lugus and this product as well. So good stuff. We have a featured video this week.
We do. I can get to the right tab. Our friends over at MLC had their Christmas concert this past weekend. So Martin Luther College Christmas concert was Saturday night and Sunday, December 3rd and 4th. And that concert is actually archived online, the one from Sunday. And so we're going to include a link to the online concert if you didn't have a chance to attend or listen to the live stream when it was happening. Here's your chance to get in the Christmas spirit. Here's some incredibly beautiful music. They have handbells, they have wind symphony, they have 4 different choirs that sing individually as well as combined choirs. Just an amazing concert, all different styles of music. There's something for everyone, and a true joy. I actually didn't make it to the live event, so I live streamed it Saturday night while I was decorating my house, and it was just beautiful. And 2 hours long, these guys put so much into this concert. So
neat venue, and even the congregational singing is
definitely
really for those concerts as well. So
All right.
Well, Sally, that is going to about do it for show 474 on Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. We're going to do this again next week, and you, the viewer or the listener, are going to help. And that is by providing community feedback. That's the show each month where we collect up all the feedback from the past 4 weeks. And we share it on the show. We talk a little bit about it. We share some of our own stuff as well. But if you want to be a contributor to the show, all you have to do is email us, wellstech@wells.net, or go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and pick one of the many social network channels that we're on and share away. We'd love to hear your thoughts on different products that you've tried or questions that you have or ministry resources that you've found useful. Doesn't matter if we've mentioned it on the show before. We'd love to hear about your experiences with that. It's really all about technology and ministry, and I'm sure our audience has a lot of good stuff to share. So please do, and that will make it on the show next week for show 475. Sally, thanks for all you do, your insights, and all your work on the show notes page, which is totally awesome. What a great resource that is. Thanks to all you listeners and viewers out there, and come back next week for show 475. And between now and then, blessings on your Advent preparations. Bye-bye.